One of the first experiments is describing what is now being called a previously unrecognized form of energy. In the early 1990s, there was a Russian scientist, his name was Vladimir Popanin. He was a quantum biologist from Russia's Academy of Sciences in Moscow, is where he began the experiments. Popanin conducted a series of very simple experiments. However, what I think is so interesting, while the work itself is interesting, when we stop and consider that someone had to actually think about doing these things, where did they even get the idea? Where did they get the input, the intuition to create this kind of experiment to begin with? And that tells me that something very, very different, something really big is happening in our world today. Popanin began by simply taking a glass tube. So if you can envision a glass tube that's sealed on both ends, and through a device that allowed him to draw all of the air out from inside of that tube, he created what's called a vacuum. So we're looking at a closed tube. It's closed on both ends. All the air is drawn out from the inside. He's created what we call a vacuum, and vacuum implies that the tube is empty on the one hand. And right there, we've already got a problem, because what we know is that in a vacuum, something still exists. The air may be drawn out, but there's still something in that tube, and that something are little particles of light that are called photons. So in Popanin's tube, photons of light still existed. And what Popanin and the researchers wanted to determine was whether or not these little particles of light, how they were arranged inside the tube. Were they all lying on the bottom of the tube? Were they stuck to the sides? Were they all scattered around? So he devised a way to measure these. So in the vacuum, he measured the particles of light. What he found was that they were randomly scattered. That was completely no surprise, absolutely what he expected. So far, everything is okay in this experiment. Completely random distribution. The next piece of the experiment is where this gets really interesting, because into the glass tube, into the vacuum, the researchers inserted some human DNA. So they placed some cell tissue into this tube, and the question they're asking is whether or not the human DNA will have an effect on the little particles of light. Now, I'm going to ask you a question: why would it? Because in our science day, in Western science day, there is absolutely nothing that allows for a relationship between the physical molecule of DNA and the non-physical particle of light that we call a photon. So there's nothing that allows for that interaction in conventional understanding today. This is what Popanin is experimenting with. He places the DNA inside the tube, take all the air out again, and what they find is absolutely amazing. What they find is that the particles of light are aligned along the axis of the DNA. In other words, the DNA, the molecule of human DNA, is having a direct measurable effect on the particles of light in this tube. Let me ask you to consider a question. What is our world made out of? At the most fundamental level, whether you're looking at your wooden table or the carpets on your floor, or you're looking at the fabric and the upholstery of your car seat, if you're listening to this in an automobile, what is our world made out of? People will say to me, it's made out of vibration, and that's correct. At the most fundamental level, our world is made of light. Some of the light is moving very fast, some of it's moving very slow. The photons, the particles of light that our world is made out of, are being influenced by the human DNA. What this experiment is showing is the stuff in every cell of our body is influencing the stuff our world is made out of. And to the best of my knowledge, this is one of the very first times under laboratory conditions anything like this has ever been shown, although the ancients suggest that this relationship exists almost universally. Now, the next piece of the experiment gets really, really interesting, because the DNA is removed from the tube, and Popanin says, okay, we've taken the DNA out of the vacuum. What happens to the particles of light? Do they all fall to the bottom? Do they all scatter because there's no DNA holding them together anymore? When they measured the photons, the little particles of light, when the DNA was removed, what happened surprised everyone. Because although the DNA no longer existed in the tube, the particles acted as if the DNA were still there. And the question is, why? What is holding those particles in place? What are they attached to? Is there some invisible field that's holding them there? The particles remained ordered, and there's absolutely nothing in conventional Western science that describes why those particles are still held in place. Well, this is the end of the first experiment. And then the lab notes, I think, are very telling. The light is described as behaving surprisingly, counterintuitively. It says that there was one way the light was expected to behave, and what was actually being observed was very, very different from what they thought was going to happen. The lab notes go on to say that we are forced to accept the possibility that some new field of energy is being excited by the DNA. Well, my sense is it's probably not a new field, that it is a field that has existed for a long time. We simply never knew how to recognize this field. This experiment now is actually called the DNA phantom effect, because the effects last even when the DNA is no longer in the system. So this is the end of our first experiment. A summary, what did we just do? We said, number one, that a previously unrecognized form of energy exists. Number two, it appears that the DNA is communicating with matter, with the photons of light through this energy. And that's the end of our first experiment. We'll continue with more in the next session.